All right, y'all. Got another good episode with Coach Logan Neff the other day. Really fantastic coach. Doing good things and great things up in Ohio right now. He was a former Kentucky guy, now is in Ohio. So, yeah, man, just enjoy the episode with Coach Logan Neff. I really enjoyed it myself, sitting down with him, and really appreciated him taking the time and out of both our crazy schedules to get this thing done. So, yeah, enjoy this episode with Coach Logan Neff. A couple of things before we get going off of here. Definitely want to talk about our new sponsor, which is the Working Dog Coffee. Okay, this is from Brennan Sweeney down in North Carolina. Has a coffee company down there, and something about that company is that, you know, there's so many people I know that mindlessly consume coffee through disturbing products on the market. And the solution we have is offering an organic coffee that doesn't have any of the nasty side effects. That's a poorly regulated energy drink. The only products you'll need on the label are 100% organic coffee with organic flavoring. Our two flavors, which is the Malt and the Burner, are a great mix of a high caffeine product and a classic Colombian favorite blend for coffee drinkers. You can use the code CHATS for 15% off, and every bag you buy will help support Working Dogs charities around the country. Again, that is code CHATS for the coffee. Now, also, we have to talk about the other sponsor of this podcast. What's the other sponsor for this podcast? You can believe it. It is Team Builder. So let's talk about Team Builder. Team Builder is the software for performance coaches around the world. Their powerhouse platform provides coaches with an elevated experience when it comes to program development, data tracking, and staying connected with athletes and clients. Team Builder is full of tools that coaches need, like multiple max training methods, 16 plus reports, evaluation setting, and goal setting, to name a few. Coaches also have access to consultations with Team Builder's in-house sports scientists to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with the promo code CONJUGATE to receive a 30-day free trial, as well as a 52-week football workout program. Enjoy this episode of the CONJUGATE Chats. And welcome back to another episode of the CONJUGATE Chats. It is currently February 3rd on a Saturday. I think this is the first time recording in like a month, man. But I have on Logan Neff, who was a former, I believe you were the Kentucky State Director for the NHSCA. And then Now you're at Ohio. So, man, welcome to the CONJUGATE Chats, and kind of walk us through that process, man.
Yeah, so make a long story short, again, like you said, my name's Logan Neff. Obviously a young guy in the field, 27 years old. I spent my experience in the strength and conditioning world, the private sector, and then worked my way into the collegiate setting where I was a professional intern, GA, whatever the title you would want to give it, at the University of Cincinnati for a little over a year, where I worked underneath Brady Collins, who was the director of football sports performance there at the time, obviously with Coach Fickell. Now they're at the University of Wisconsin killing it. And then after that, I then transitioned into the high school setting, where I was at Beechwood High School in Northern Kentucky for 3 years. And while I was there, I was then asked to become the director for the state of Kentucky for the NHSSCA. I did that for a little bit of over a year and a half, and now I've made my way across the river to where I'm over in Cincinnati at Indian Hills High School, So, you know, my first year here and we're rocking and rolling. So appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely, man. And we kind of chatted we chatted a lot before we start actually recording. And, I mean, we had some pretty good insights about, the high school physical education system, what we do in the day of strength conditioning at the high school level, and what exactly does that look like. I know for physical education wise that, especially in the public school setting, man, that you got to get your license and then you got to get the endorsement and whatever else and the education, your degrees and whatnot for. And I know it's different from state to state. I know like Georgia's got like a alternative program and Texas got like this alternative program that you can do like 6 weeks or 12 weeks, or whatever, and get a license. I don't know. It's weird, yeah. Man. It was weird for Tennessee. I had to get a master's degree. Anyways, so the physical education world, especially in the public setting, it's been predominantly, let's roll out the balls, let's roll out dodgeballs, let's roll out whatever else, and walk a mile, ask these kids at the end of the year to do a fitness test that requires them to do push-ups and run miles, even though they've basically done nothing for, you know, nine, however many weeks. So give us your takes and give us your insights into the public school physical education system and how can we incorporate that with strength and conditioning?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of like, it's almost like we're having to reset the clocks. Like what was used to be the regular norm is now kind of almost unheard of. And now it's almost like an uphill battle that we're all trying to fight. And it's simply just based off your alignment with your administration and what their overall values and goals are for your school district. And obviously, like you said, the structure of how it can go, just, it goes from school district, or even state to state. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is the fact that, if we're able to get this thing done during the school day, we're killing multiple birds with one stone, right? You don't have to worry about that freshman who has to get a ride back to campus from mom that come train at 5 o'clock at the end of the school day. You don't have to worry about kids missing for haircuts or orthodontist appointments or where, you know, they forgot their left shoe, you know, wherever that may be. We're avoiding all these other hiccups by plugging this in during the school day. And I think the other thing that it's kind of frustrating to think about is the fact that a lot of schools really try and uphold that high, high academic standard. And I think it's great that you push these kids to take these extra AP and extracurricular activities to make sure that their resume looks great and their college applications look great. And so they get into their dream school. But also I think there's something to be said about having a kid being put into an environment every day where they're going to have to show up and work hard and give their absolute best. Cause you know, if you ask anybody in the strength conditioning world, you could argue that the weight room is arguably the best form of therapy, or that's mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. You're kind of forged in the fire, right? 10 pounds is 10 pounds, 45 pounds is 45 pounds. It's a beautiful part. It's not going to lie to you, right? It's arguably the most truthful room you could find in a school. You know, I think it's really important for us to try and work with our administration to get things like this done during the school day, because at the end of the day, we're helping everybody out, right? And, you know, if you're able to spin it to your administration in this way, you've got your academics aligned, you've got your extracurriculars aligned, you've got kids going to great colleges and great universities, you've got male and female student athletes going to play at all levels, right? But if you're still holding these things before school and making these kids only sleep about 6 hours a day, which is a lot of them, it's what a lot of them are doing, or you're having it after school at like 5:30 and these kids haven't eaten until their first period lunch, which some of them it's at 10:45. You never know. We're missing a lot. And a lot of these kids are coming in underfed, undertrained, underslept. I'm not sure if that's a word or not. My apologies. But, you know, I think we're kind of burning the candle on both ends here by making these kids come in before or after school, compared to where we can teach them early on in life a good structured work-life balance schedule of saying, okay, hey, I'm able to take my AP classes, but I'm still able to come see Coach Neff in my seventh period to knock out my lift. So that way I can then go to my practice for about hour and a half. And then because I'm involved and I'm in the National Honor Society, I can then go to the soup kitchen and volunteer for 2 hours, you know, because that's what a lot of kids are doing now. And it's great that they're involved in all these sort of things. But I think there's something to be said to be sharpenedly. Wow. I think there's something to be said for being sharp mentally from your physical fitness, from your physical activity. Mindy Reichert only states that this is only going to help kids in the long run. You know, we went through this weird period, right? People don't like to throw the word out there anymore, but COVID, you know, we went through this weird period of COVID where people were not physically fit. A lot of people have a sedentary lifestyle, and we're still seeing that with some of our kids, right? Like, if you put some of these kids through a basic, just motor learning and development, long-term athletic development, whatever the word is you want to throw out there that we all use, you put them through a simple warm-up of tumbling, crawling, just different basic movement patterns that, like, back in the day were, like, just kids were hitting it all in cylinders. They look great. Now you get some of these kids, and it's like, we might have to just spend an entire session of you doing this because your training level and your base, your overall just base of health is so low. So, I think this is something really important. I think it's something that a lot of schools are going to start to come forward to and get more into as time goes on. But obviously, you know, it always starts from the top down. We can only do so much in our position. At the end of the day, the people that are signing the names on our checks are the ones who have to agree. So, yeah, I hope that answers that question.
Absolutely, man. So there's two parts to that I really want to get into. The curriculum side of it, which I think a lot of administrators really take portions of that or take focus of that because they look at a schedule and say, okay, where can we fit this or whatever? And then there is obviously the health and fitness component of it that we all want in our own performance in our own settings. So let's talk about the curriculum part, because the way that we structure our classes here at Dyer County is pretty unique in the way. We have what's called break, and that's basically like 15 minutes and kids can go get like breakfast and whatnot. And it's a beautiful thing, man. I sent our administration a proposal for a advanced strength and conditioning class. And part of that was the spacing between break, our second period, and then lunch. Lunch is during our third block. And so we will have the last shift train because you've already eaten during break, and then you can go eat after you train. So in the perfect world setting, that, you know, that was how that kind of lined up. And I mean, it made sense. But also, you know, and you mentioned this before we started recording this, some of these kids want to do extracurricular activities that don't involve athletics, like, I don't know, Beta Club, Honor Society, you know, if they want to do welding or any Votech or choir or whatever, that's great and dandy and everything. I think there's needs to be like a set block for that. Maybe a mini block, maybe or something, you know, something to that nature where kids can still give that opportunity for, you know, their whatever they want to do. I mean, not everything revolves around strength and conditioning, right? Not everything is in that weight room. But for athletes, what we want as strength coaches, we have to have our athletes strong. We have to have them trained. We have to have, and it just makes more sense being in the school day than anything else.
Right. You know, kind of like what you said, every school gives, quote unquote, you know, student athletes, wherever it may be, other opportunities to sharpen their craft and whatever they want to go to school for. You know, if you're a kid who's wanting to be a mechanical engineer, you can take robotics, which is awesome. You know, and depending upon the school, that might be your quarterback. Like quarterback at the school that I'm at, he's a fantastic young man. He's happens to be one of the fastest kids in the state of Ohio. He just committed to Miami of Ohio for track. And lo and behold, he's the point guard of the basketball team. And 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, he's also in the performance choir and he's leading a solo before tip off. You know, like, kids are involved in so much and they're given so many different avenues to do things right. But I think the thing that gets neglected in schools, and again, I'm not naive to this, the people that are most passionate about the strength conditioning department are us, the coaches. As much as your AD loves it too and might love you, he has a whole other agenda that he has to take care of. You know what I mean? But I think you could argue that a big thing that gets neglected is the care of the student athlete, the everyday grind of the student athlete. And by giving them this opportunity to basically practice their craft just like every other student would during the day, I think opens up a whole lot of different avenues for kids. And it also kind of allows you to space your students out more. You're not having to overhaul classes with 50 kids. You're able to structure their day a little bit better too. But I, you know, I think it's also, there's something to be said for giving a kids a mental break during the school day, right? Like there's a big thing on mental health now, you know, that's something that everybody talks about. And we give these kids, you know, again, I'm in my first year at my school, so I'm still trying to learn our schedule, but we have 2 block days a week. And throughout those other days where we have a regular schedule, you know, we have like what's called a flex period, which is like 2 days a week, 20 to 25 minutes, where kids are basically allowed to just kind of decompress. They walk around, they go to the lunchroom, they get a snack, they do whatever, they sit in a little common areas so kids can interact. I think there's something to be said for that, because I think that's also extremely important. But, you know, I think we're missing a whole other boat by not allowing our student athletes to work on their craft during the day. Because you can often say that that's a neglected group, right? You know, we really, really push education, and I'm a person, I come from a family full of educators. I think it's extremely important, but I don't think we should ever forget about the student athlete who has the dreams and aspirations to go play in college and get his school paid for, or her. You know, I believe that they should have the right to work on their craft just as much as anybody else. Now, you know, the schools down in the South, you know, they do it different. They've got their athletic periods. They've got it all buttoned up. You know, they do it right. I think there's something to be said for that, because, you know, oftentimes success leaves clues. And a lot of schools down in the South that do have that model oftentimes have a lot of success and send their kids on to great schools and great colleges of any level, not just Power 5, Division 1, all the way down to Division 3. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's something to be said about giving equal opportunity to all students to be in a classroom setting to where they feel confident to perform and perform at a high level.
I agree with that as well, man. And I think about this often, because I heard it about, I think, a year back or a year and a half back, that strength and conditioning, high school strength and conditioning, is like teaching algebra, geometry, trigonometry, and pre-calc all in the same class. Now, try, as a math teacher, as a English teacher, try to teach like multiple levels, but at one time. And I think there needs to be distinct ways of, you know, approaching that. Because when we have freshmen that did not train through middle school, and then they walk into high school, and they're going through puberty, and they look like Bambi coming through the door, or, you know, they're like 4'5", and then, so, you know, they just grow out of nowhere. You know, that's just things that I don't think people take into consideration when we're training athletes. They just think, oh, you're a high school strength coach. Well, it's a lot more than that, man. You know, there's, you know, you got to develop relationships with a lot of these kids and relate to them. I think it's easier for some of our younger guys or girls that are in this profession to relate to, you know, our youth. Because, you know, we were in high school probably, 9 years ago. But at the same time, like, it's just part of the job. I mean, it's not like, oh, well, I have to have football here and there, you know, whatever. You know, there's not a set schedule, or hopefully you have a set schedule, but, you know, it's, you got to develop relationships, and you got to understand the science of it, and then you have to have whatever else, man. But I totally lost my train of thought there for a moment. But I don't know. I just think that people don't realize that side of high school strength and conditioning, of what we are, you know, training multiple levels and multiple training ages while training more of, or training different levels of biological ages as well, because boys go through puberty at like sophomore year, and we watch that 4'5" guy be a 6'2" later on. I mean, I understand people, I don't think some people realize that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a great way you could kind of, I saw this on Twitter, I didn't, or X, whatever you want to call it, I didn't make this up at all, but I think a great way you can kind of describe our job is an overly caffeinated PE teacher, right? But also you have the ability to be a Swiss Army knife. Especially when you're dealing in the high school setting, you see male and female athletes, especially typically in the public school setting. If you're in a private school, you know, you may have all male or all female. But you know, specifically speaking in my setting, in the public school setting, you wear so many different hats. One day you're Dr. Phil, like, you know, the other, like, you hear all the tea, or quote unquote tea, I don't know, whatever girls call it, you know, you hear everything about everything. But it's also cool that they feel comfortable in that setting to share some of those things with you, because I think there's something to be said about having solid foundational relationships with your student athletes, because, you know, it boils back to, at the end of the day, I could spend as much time as I want to on developing an annual plan or whatever it is that you're doing or whatever block you may be working on to instill with your athletes. But if there's not firm foundational relationships established with those kids, they're not even going to want to show up and see you. And that's a fact. You know, and especially if they're in a classroom setting, if they don't like you and they don't, and they're not bought into who you are as an individual, they'll make up every excuse in the world to not participate in class. Cause some kids, honestly, you know, they just don't care, and that's okay. But you know, I think there's something to be said about being a high school strength and conditioning coach and having to wear multiple hats and kind of almost be like a chameleon. I heard Joe Ken say that at a hammer strength clinic years ago. You have to be able to blend with your environment. You know, you got to come in with all the juice in the world for that football program, right? You got to get them riled up. You got to get them fired up. You got to get them with a tug of war. You got to get them with some sort of finisher for that day. You know, sometimes it's also to make the head coach happy. And then the next thing you know, you might have a block of all Olympic sports where it's cheer, golf, and tennis. You're not, you know, you're not throwing on that Metallica and getting that thing revved up for a plus set on five plus on front squat. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You might be putting on that Nicki Minaj. You might be putting on that Katy Perry and letting it roll, giving them a quick message, and then just simply monitoring the room because that's what they're comfortable with. I think it's extremely important to meet the kid where they're at as well. Kind of like you said, I'm in a difficult situation where I see kids that are, I see middle school a little bit right now. We're working on developing a middle school like program as well, like in terms of developing it during the school day. But you know, when you're seeing kids 9 through 12 in our league that our team is in, we don't have freshman football. It's like I have a weight room through a 9 through 12, and kind of like you said, you might have that 6'2" dangly freshman who's 160 pounds soaking wet, and then you look down the room, you got that 6'5" offensive tackle who's getting looked at by Northwestern or whoever it may be. But you know, I think that's something else that people don't realize is that we spend a lot of time on trying our best to meet those kids where they're at and meet them where their needs are at, because, you know, you're not trying to burn the stake. You're trying to follow that long-term athletic development model. And also, besides all the crazy and fancy words, I think there's something to be said about giving those kids that autonomy and giving those kids that opportunity to kind of figure things out on their own, because at the end of the day, not every kid's going to play at the next level, and that's totally okay. But I fully expect you to give us Indian Hill, wherever that school may be at, I fully expect you to come in here and give us that 110%, because I think the greatest part about our job is that the fact that we're kind of teaching these kids to work together, right? I believe if you ask me, that's originally why, on top of preventing injuries, you know, making strides and increasing those metrics of power, speed, endurance, all those fancy words that everybody says, I think when you kind of turn back the clocks, people forget about what this profession was really all about. And that's about forging people together through fire and getting people to work together. What's the saying that everybody has in their weight room? Iron sharpens iron. You know, I think it's extremely important to get kids to compete and seek discomfort. And oftentimes, you know, there's a good way and a bad way to do it, but sometimes you got to kind of back these kids into a corner and see how they respond. Cause I think there's something to be said about flight versus fight. Are you a guy that handles, or gal that handles adversity well, or are you somebody that just kind of crumbles under pressure? And specifically speaking to me in my setting, it's the same with everybody though. I believe at all levels, even professional level, you know, when they get done being with myself or that coach, whoever it may be, you want them to not only be the biggest, strongest, fastest individual, but you also want them to be resilient through those mental battles that they go through, because as time goes on, you're going to have to hang up your cleats. You're going to have to hang up your shoes. You're going to have to hang up that jersey or that lucky pair of underwear that you had that you wore for every playoff game. I don't know. But I think it's really important to put these kids through something that's uncomfortable to get them to grow. Because you could also argue at the end of the day that our society as a whole is starting to coddle kids more and trying to, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think you have to take care of kids. Absolutely. I'm not saying that you need to bury every kid that walks through the door, because, you know, that's not how you should get things done either. Because that's a great way how to lose kids too. But I think there's something extremely important about putting kids through competition and seeing how they respond. And also, depending upon your setting, if you have coaches present, that also gives them a great opportunity to see what kind of competitors that they have on their team. Because at the end of the day, if we're really making this thing come full circle, we're here to essentially be the right-hand man of that head coach of that program and the right-hand man of that AD, of that athletic department. Because, you know, you don't want everybody to look at your athletic department and just say, okay, they're only good at football. You know, I'm a football guy. Hey, you know, hey, I said it out loud. Like, I love football. Football is where my passion is. I played in college, was fortunate enough to play Division III football, was fortunate enough to be an intern at the Power 5 level and learn from some great, great coaches. But, you know, like, I think it's really important for an athletic department as a whole to want to make it one sound foundational program that pushes all students and all student athletes, male and female, because when they leave our doors, when they leave our care, we want them to be able to take on the world with an unbelievable amount of confidence and strive and attack whatever those conflicts may be so they can find a resolution on the other end.
Absolutely, man. I want to go back to that forged by fire mentality in the weight room, because I don't think we've lost that mentality as a profession. I just think it's like sub-minded, or it's not in the forefront, which to each their own. You know, each coaching style is unique in their own way. You know, there's, you prioritize whatever is in your room, right? I'm not going to tell you how to run a room. I'm not going to tell anyone how they should think or anything like that. But I do think there's a period to where you teach athletes, you know, here's my standards, here's what we're going to do, okay? Here's how you do techniques, you know, the teaching model, basically. And then there's a period to where it just comes down to consistency, man, to where they have to show up every day if they want to continue getting better. They have to be there. They have to be present. They have to work with their teammates, man. And, I mean, that's just life skills that they're going to have to need, not just in, like, their sports or whatever, but in life, man. I mean, there's teammates I had that I didn't like, you know, when I played the sport or whatever. And there's teachers and staff that I didn't like in some schools that I've been at. But you're going to have to learn to get over it and basically work with them. And it's the same way, but in strength conditioning. You know, there's teammates you're not going to like. There's going to be situations that you're not going to be favorable in. But you're going to have to find ways to overcome it. Or if you don't overcome it, you're just going to have to find ways to kind of, I'm not going to say cope with it, but kind of to move on or learn to accept things for what they are. But also, there's something about just doing harsh shit, man. There's something absolutely just beautiful about just doing harsh shit that, you know, when you're done, you're like, yeah, I just did that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's extremely important to also meet with that head coach to see what their overall vision is for that program. Because like I just said, like, no matter what we think's best, I'm a high school strength coach, they're the head coach. So if every Friday has to be Freaky Friday, competition-driven stuff, like, hey, let's do it, but let's do it the right way too, right? You don't want to bury these kids and get these kids hurt, but I also think it's extremely important to meet the demands of the head coach and get these kids to understand that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves, because essentially you're a part of that team too. And I think that's the beautiful part about the strength conditioning world, especially when you're in a school setting or part of a team setting. You know, you're not in the private sector. Like, you're really, really heavily invested in that program. And I think that's something that not all kids notice, and that's okay, because, you know, they're worried about everything else besides what we've got going on. But I think that's a great part about being in the school setting, and being in the strength and conditioning world is the fact that we're able to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And we oftentimes have to let our ego down, because we oftentimes have to do things that we don't really agree with, but it's something that head coach really wants done. You know, and that's okay, because no matter what, you have to put your best face on for the kids, because at the end of the day, you know, when they come in, I can't give them a different version of myself every time they walk in the door. I have to be consistent. You have to argue that you have to be the most consistent guy in the building. Whether you're having a bad day or not, if you're walking down the hallway, you got to give that kid a fist bump. You got to let that girl know, hey, you hit that great three-pointer last night with 3 minutes to go in the game. That was awesome. You have to be positive. You should give off good energy. Because the more energy that you give off that's contagious, the more kids are going to want to be around you, the more the administrators are going to want to be around you, because they see how much the kids care about you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think there's power to showing up to their events as well. And you kind of mentioned, you know, their three-pointer with three, you know, minutes left on the clock. I think there's power in showing up for their events too. I mean, they show up to our weight room and facility and whatever. I mean, meet them in their domain, meet them in their element.
Right, no doubt. Obviously, I'm newly married. We're about a month in now. Things are going all right. But, you know, I don't have kids yet, so I have a little bit more flexibility to be at these games. I just think, though, that if you're not supportive and not actually seeing the craft that you're trying to build or trying to just add, I compare it to adding horsepower to an engine. Like, that's what we do. Like, the weight room's an auto body shop. I'm here to change your tires, change your oil, put a little bit of horsepower on your engine. And then it's your job to go get all the actual skill acquisition of your sport done at practice or by yourself, wherever that may be. But, you know, if all you're doing is clanging and banging weight and doing fly tens and doing vertical jumps and all this other crap, that's great. But if you're not actually going to go see them compete as an actual player, as an actual person and human being, I think you're missing out on a whole other element of not only the relationship with the student athlete, the coaches, and their team overall, but you're also missing some things that you can kind of keep in minding yourself while you're programming. Like, hey, you know, we look, I don't know, you know, or it could be a conversation with the head coach. Hey, you know, like, I thought we looked really, really slow laterally last season. They'll say whatever. I don't know. Or you might notice you're supposed to get them and train them tomorrow in the morning. Like, let's say it's a Friday night game and you're supposed to train them the next day on a Saturday. You get the opportunity to see, like, okay, hey, that was a really hard fought game. I'm going to have to kind of scrap what we were doing. Like, we're going to go through a really, really good mobility session, yoga, whatever it may be, for 15 to 20 minutes. And then we're going to hit mainly just a lot of accessories, almost to the point to where it's bodybuilding, because we're just trying to get blood flow to the muscle and to the tissue and restore some quality. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about going and supporting your kids too.
I mean, man, it means the world to them. And I think even as a strength coach, you should love to go to sporting events. I mean, if you're in athletics all, well, you're not in athletics all day, but if you are involved in their sport, or I think it just helps us understand their demands a little bit better too. You know, if I watch a football game and I see in the fourth quarter we're a little down, you know, why are we a little bit more down? Is there things that I can do on my end? Is there things I need to scrap? Is there things, you know, whatever? I just think it helps our craft just a little bit more. It just helps our athletes just a little more.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with having constant evaluation of your program either. Because, you know, if you read anywhere on anything, because our profession is on every app now, it seems like everybody prides themselves on professional development. Professional development, that's great. You can have 15 notebooks full of notes, but are you implementing as well? It's kind of like taking all those notes in high school and not studying for the test, which I did too much. But, you know, I think the old saying also too is, to kind of wrap that all up, is it's only going to matter as much to them essentially as it does to us. You know, if they only see me in the weight room, they don't see me at the field, or even like checking in at a practice for 5 minutes just to say what's up. Like, those small conversations go a long way, because seeing them in those adverse situations and seeing how they push through also, I think, tells you a lot about the student or the student athlete that you're going to deal with.
So. That's one thing I've really tried to do in this new spot here, because I never did it in a couple other schools I've been at, is showing up for practice and, you know, just looking to see, you know, what they do. I've done it for volleyball, I've done it for softball, football, baseball, a couple other sports as well. I just want to see what they, you know, what they did on a daily basis before or after they walk in my room. You know, did we just run poles right before, you know, you went to go, you know, go lift or whatever? You know, is there things that I'm looking at practice saying, you know, there's a good list for that. You know, I can help them out in this aspect there. And not even just talking about like the strength side, just even on the, I guess, the psychological side of coach is here. Coach sees me, you know, perform my sport, you know, and I think it just goes back to that relationship aspect too.
Right. It's because it's only at the end of the day, it's only going to matter to them as much to us. So, yeah, that's a great point.
Absolutely, man. All right, let's go ahead and start wrapping some things up here. I always end on the episode with what's called Conjugate Coach Spotlight. So is there any coach out there in the field of strength conditioning that you want to highlight or shout out?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple guys that I like. You know, obviously everybody's kind of got their guy, right, or their guys or whatever it may be. We're in a relationship-driven business, not only with our kids or whoever your population may be, but most importantly, the people that kind of help us to where we get at. But somebody that I could always give a shout-out to, somebody who's been a huge mentor and a huge help to me, his name's Zach Higgins. He's the assistant director of strength and conditioning for Ohio State football. He was my intern coordinator at the University of Cincinnati. He's been a huge help. And honestly, all those guys that I was on staff with, I was fortunate enough to be on staff at the University of Cincinnati. Danny Foligno, Coach Brady Collins, obviously the director, Dustin Tripp, DeAndre Ward, who's now at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Jeremiah Ortiz. He's an assistant up at Wisconsin as well. And then during my time in the private sector, had a lot of great people there. Coach Ben Kramer, he's now the director of sports science and assistant strength coach at the University of Washington. Coach Mike Wolf, he's an old head guy. You can't find his stuff anywhere, but he was at one point, he was the 2001 NFL Strength Coach of the Year. He was a major, major help to me. He was actually the one who pitched me the idea of getting into high school strength conditioning. So shout out to him. And then obviously I've got guys at the high school level. A good friend of mine that's honestly been in my life my whole life. His name's Pete Calpe. He's somebody who's been a huge resource to me, a very big help to me. He's on the board for the NHSSCA for Ohio. He's at McNicholas High School here in Cincinnati. We've grown up together, and we also happen to have the same passion. So it's awesome to always have him to be my soundboard. And then another good buddy of mine, Coach Adam Atala, he's currently at Covenant Catholic High School in Northern Kentucky. He's been a great resource, very polished up individual. He's a guy that really understands the business side of strength conditioning as well. I think there's something to be said for being able to kind of put a little side hustle together as well. If you're good at your craft, you know, don't do it for free, right? And he's done a great job of kind of developing me in that professional setting. And then a buddy of mine who I actually interned with, he actually was in the college setting for a while, but now he's in the high school setting. His name's Trent Smart. Very, very intelligent guy. Very book savvy, and he's very good at applying what he's learned. And he's very, very good at teaching those things. So that's just a very short list of people that have really helped me out. And then I would also honestly give a big shout out to Mike Winkler, the director of strength conditioning at Archbishop Hoban High School up in Akron. Everybody knows the powerhouse Hoban, beast mode, as he likes to say. He's a guy who put me in the spotlight, I guess you could say, to be the director for the state of Kentucky. He's a guy who really mentored me and helped me in trying to develop a profession, not just at like my own setting and my own neck of the woods, but for an entire state. So that really kind of helped put me into an uncomfortable situation where I was honestly having to cold call people and say, hey, like, who runs your weight room? I'm seeing stuff on your football account on Twitter. Like, who is this? I need to talk to this guy. Like, we're trying to grow this thing. Because like I said before, when we got on here, Kentucky is unfortunately behind on the eight ball a little bit in terms of strength conditioning. So he really helped, gave me that courage to push forward, to have that conviction to better the profession. But you know, that's a very, very small list of people. But, you know, and again, also thank you to you for giving me this opportunity to be on here. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, man. And you got a badass list of coaches there, man, that, you know, are well spread out throughout the college, pros, and even the high school realms as well. You know, you're sitting there just riling off like, yeah, you know, that's a badass guy. That coach is pretty badass in his own setting too. Logan, I appreciate you taking the time, man, and having to reschedule and then schedule again, and then having the time zone thing, man. I that's one thing I get confused about all the time when we do scheduling. Like, is it 10 o'clock your time? Is it my time? You know, just whatever, man. But I do appreciate you and your time, man, and just coming on and just dropping knowledge, man. It's completely awesome.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your time. Have a good one.
Absolutely, man. And that's another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Please follow Coach Neff on his social medias as well. In the name of strength, stay strong and have a day today.